Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
So we have new faces tonight, old friends returning. Very glad to see everybody. And here comes Sonia. So let's do introductions around.
I'm Ellie.
Wendy.
Jeffrey.
Karen.
Ruby.
Sonia.
Don.
Mom.
Isayo.
Bob.
Wendy.
How did you hear about us?
Online. I'm visiting from Jersey.
I see.
So I went to the other Zendo and then came to the Zendo.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you sit in Jersey?
I sit with Virshi Kennedy at Morningstar Zendo in Jersey City.
Uh-huh.
And now I live in South Jersey, so I'm connecting with some Philly, Soji Zendo in Philly, and Ordinary Mind Zendo.
Oh, yeah.
I feel a little Sangha-less. So I'm traveling around.
Trying to find
your
place.
Something closer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How long are you here?
I leave on Sunday. I'm studying at San Jose for 2 weeks. I've been here. This is my second week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, you're very
I'm missing your session. Ugh.
Oh, too bad.
Yes, I wish I'd seen that earlier.
Next time.
Mm-hmm.
We do it every year.
Okay.
Good to see you, Jeffrey.
Excuse me?
It's good to see you back.
Well, I was only gone a week. Thank you very much for making me feel so missed.
It was a week,
so
and a week, and a week, so it seems like a long time, but maybe it wasn't as long as I thought. What we are doing is studying out of this book, which is Chogyam Trungpa's Attention to Lojong, to the suggestions on how to improve our practice, basically, how to drop the self in different ways and cultivate compassion. So we've gotten to about number 20, is it 19 or 20? 20 of the two witnesses hold to the principal one. This is the one that we went home with last week. And the instruction is about knowing that other people have opinions about us and our behavior, and so do we. And if you have to decide, you yourself are the best witness of your own behavior. Only you really know yourself. Nobody can know yourself as well as you do. So this is always be true to yourself, trust your intelligence, and evaluate the merit of what you do. Sometimes people are correct when they say you idiot. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're not. So many times we have to stop and check. But just as Buddha even said when he was teaching, don't accept anything that anybody says, including I myself, that does not ring true to you. So this is a very, very powerful and important instruction that I hope you all were addressing somewhat this week and noticing how this works in your own life. It comes up many times, and there's always this opportunity to cover it over and just let it go. but if we're able to stop and really look at what's happening and then make a decision, make a conscious decision about what's correct for this life, this mind, this body right now. Sometimes we don't know. Often we don't know. And then it's well to admit that and accept that and follow through.
Thank you. I'm just going to interrupt because I think we should have somebody close that window over there. It's really noisy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's Bridgetown.
Well,
she's not here tonight.
Thank you.
That's much better. Ah.
Thank
you. Nobody's had an experience about this? Not so much.
Well, I would say I have been in the crucible of this. It's been, I went to visit my 87-year-old mother, who I've now had been in the company of for about 10 days, and it's clearly a lot of looking at the past and talking about decisions one made at earlier times in one's life, not only mine but hers. That person who brought you into this world is a very special connection, and I've been thoroughly enjoying this experience with her. We're going to have a very large extended family gathering on Saturday. Well over 65 people will be there. My 94-year-old aunt who's coming out from Missouri, and my other 90-year-old aunt. We're going to get together, and I have been the executor of my deceased cousin's estate, and I'm distributing things to everyone. So the issue of intent and motivation, how all of this is going to be viewed. Essentially, it's like knowing that 60 people are going to be evaluating the things that I've chosen for them. And it's this whole thing of, in terms of the training, is just to let it all go. To try to honor the death of my cousin as well as I can. He entrusted me with something, and when I'm looking very forward to finishing that task. Mm-hmm. But I guess this issue about our past and about the next moment is one that we deal with a lot in our training, because it's constantly informing the next moment. You know? Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine a better text for us to have been reading all this time while I was going through this, because trying to stay in the vertical when all the time the horizontal was calling to me, you know. I think when you're asked to go through letters and photos and things that it's constantly dragging yourself into memory and into all of that time with people, which are the most formal and most intense kinds of relationships that you've had, the ones with your family. It's been a real, real blessing to have had this book, and going through those exercises with you. And so, even though I wasn't here last week, and I was in that other room called Sparks, Nevada. I was truly utilizing this as best I could, asking myself some of those questions. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you. Thank you.
I can just imagine, is this right for Auntie Sue? Or will Uncle Joe be disturbed by it? Yeah, it could go on and on, couldn't it? Yeah. Hard to note sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have a running dialogue with my wife over who I am.
Oh.
She has an idea. Doesn't always jive with mine. So we have some very lively conversations.
I can imagine.
She doesn't quite understand the meditation way.
Yeah.
And she's trying to. So I deal with it as compassionately as I can. And sometimes she's right, which is infuriating.
She's your best teacher.
She is.
Yes. Yes. You're a lucky man.
I am. I try hard to appreciate it.
Sometimes it's a struggle, I know. Yeah.
I've been weeping, and I don't like to cry. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's going on, and so with the practice, I'm just trying not to analyze it and just stay with the feeling and meditate a lot. We're studying, I'm with 25 teachers, high school, mostly high school literature, theater, and history teachers, and we're studying the literature and theater of immigration into California. And it's been completely amazing.
Oh.
And I don't know if I said this, I teach theater, and I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened in San Francisco over the weekend, but it's something, I don't know if it's being with people. I don't know, like, I don't know how to be myself with people. I don't know, it's something like that. And also I find it hard to keep the practice strong. And so, I had this experience where it was like, I felt like I had to just go meditate. It was on Saturday in San Francisco on this field trip, and it was great. Everything's been great, amazing, blowing me away, meeting authors of books that we're reading. And so I'm like, I'm losing it. And I found a Chinese tea shop in Chinatown, and I just ordered a jasmine green tea, and I just sat, and I just sat for 2 hours, like waiting for the tea to cool. And drinking the tea really slowly, and I slowly like kind of came back to myself. You know, there's something that I don't really understand. I don't know if you guys don't know me, so it's a little weird, but be so emotional.
Here's
where I am right now.
Way to be who you are, right here.
Yeah. And I think I'm afraid to be who I am, and I'm constantly judging myself, and I'm like never okay with who I am, and I feel like sometimes I'm cutting people off, or like I have a hard time listening to others. I don't even know what's going on. And so starting yesterday, I just started weeping in the bathroom, and the homeless people, it's really, really sad.
It is.
And I find I turn away, and I normally in New York would like say hi.
Mm-hmm.
And here I'm having a hard time looking and saying hi, you know. I don't know. I don't know. It's a whole different homeless situation here. I guess maybe I just got used to it in New York or something. I don't know.
But it may be the subject that you're addressing in that already, even the history of California in terms of Mexico owning it and then, you know, having it just ripped away from there.
Yeah, that's been really upsetting.
All the way through. It is upsetting.
Yeah.
It's a very bad feeling.
That's it. And now I'm seeing the people, like the people, we read Tortilla Curtain, and I was like, oh my God. And it's fiction, but
that's real.
Yes. Like, yeah. It's real. And now the people that, like, everywhere I go, I'm seeing America and Candido, the characters. From, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
It's changing a lot of things.
Yes.
And that could be what's happening. That sounds great.
My teacher called tears like that Dharma tears. It's just the truth of things when it gets so big. Is how we, our whole body feels, is a part of it. So it's the truth. You're bearing the truth. And it's so hard to look in someone's face, in the face of suffering that way. And yet that's what our practice is. So, and we've taken it on in such a big way, of course, it must be really, really hard. Oh, it makes me cry.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all right.
I'm trying to put him back.
I know.
I prefer laughing, really.
Well.
If I had my choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. It's about as real as it can get. And that's what this is all about. Mm-hmm. Cultivating loving kindness. Anything else about this?
Please say the line again. It's not the voice, the second voice, it's a different word. I don't have the book yet,
witness.
But I kept Googling. Listen to the second voice, but I wasn't getting it. But it's with the phrasing of...
The phrasing, I wrote it down. Trust your intelligence, not yourself.
Two witnesses
hold the principal one.
Witness.
Of the two witnesses hold the principal one. Stick to yourself best you can.
Yeah. I kept Googling the wrong thing, but under his name, which I can never pronounce right. And I accidentally found a video of him talking about taking a teacher or finding a teacher or the relationship of teacher. Actually, he was going through different relationships and speaking about interacting with your relatives. And then he's always kind of got a little bit of dry humor, and he calls, said, but that's a relative truth. And then he talked about a spiritual friend, the difference in having a spiritual friend, and how, I think what he was describing is how you kind of turn over some of that witness to this friend. And then he talked about then even the difference between a spiritual friend and a teacher, and how you are turning over some of that input from that witness. So I thought that was an interesting
thing
for me to happen into.
It is. That's a very interesting point. And it takes a tremendous amount of trust and care. And it's what we all long for. Oh, thank you. The next one is what I consider one of the most important ones, even though it seems really hard. It's always maintain only a joyful mind. It doesn't even seem possible to go through the things that we have to go through as human beings living on this earth and this culture and this life, to always have a joyful mind. But if you know Tibetan teachers, they're always joyful. Mm-hmm. Always, always. It just comes right up. There's a laughter inside. There's a happiness that they have made real for themselves, physically real. In thinking about this, I realize that we don't consider what makes us unjoyful so much. We just project it out there. It's somebody's fault. It's something's fault. Something is always making us grumpy or dissatisfied, or something's always wrong. And if you think, oh, but Shogyam Trungpa says always keep a joyful mind. What about this really ugly, bad thing that just happened? And it's they did it. And then you start thinking about what your mind is doing and where that is coming from. Is it coming from there or here? And you begin to feel the here part of it, the choice that's being made not to be joyful, the choice that's being made to be grumpy, to be dissatisfied. It's actually a choice we make over and over again. He says, Manjushri and Milarepa did it, so we can do it too. This is his kind of humor. Sure, sure. But the point he's, the last point that he makes, and it's the point that I think is the most important, is that if we don't plant the seed, that we're losing the world's sanity. Mm. He said, plant the seed for the sake of the world's sanity. This is the essence of the trouble that we're in and that we all are making. Creating trouble where there is no trouble. Making it up. He says, maintain a sense of cheerfulness all along that you're allowed to wake yourself up with it. We're allowed to do this, just to be cheerful. And that joy, the joy that comes with this, that comes truly with practice, with meditation, is the beginning of compassion. If we feel that kind of deep connection and happiness with our life in the world and connection, then we begin to feel for, as you're discovering very, very big time. We feel for others. So I looked into the other book about this, one of the many other books, but the one that I've been also studying, which is by B. Allen Wallace, who has a little bit of a different take on it, or he extends it somewhat. in a way that I liked so much that I pulled out some of it to share with you. And I'm not sure I made enough copies. 1, 2, 3, 6, 9, 10, 11. I think there are 10 copies here. One for the two of you. And I think that'll be enough. Can I give you this one later?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Is that his older book,
Andy? Huh?
Because I think I have that. That's his older.
You have it with you? Oh, you have it at home.
I have it at home, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I actually have it too, Andy. So just
all right.
Yeah. I think I actually
received it. Thank you.
All right. I'm good.
Perfect. How did we know? So instead of saying always maintain a joyful mind, he translates it as constantly resort to a sense of good cheer, which is a little more academic, I think, but thinking of it as a resort is kind of nice. And then to imagine it, just to use your imagination. It depends on whether we really, really want this or not. If we really want a compassionate heart and a mind of wisdom. So, without that deep desire, it isn't working so well. The highest priority is the cultivation of the two bodhicittas. Then this is the key that makes it possible to cultivate and accomplish a constant sense of good cheer in the midst of all the vicissitudes of life. So that's the key to it, is that desire. Not to be good, not to be pure and perfect, not to be what other people want us to be, but to find in our own life and heart the heart of compassion and wisdom. It's a discovery that we made very early in our life and over comes back to us and drifts away. And the point of these practices is to keep them from drifting away. Recognizing a drift, we come back, just as we do when we sit. The mind begins to spin, and then we come back. We can come back to wisdom and compassion, come back to joy and good cheer. So when sadness, he suggests, arises, we can use our imagination to wonder, how can I be of benefit? What can I do to help? It's not about me. Even though it feels like it, it changes the whole chemistry of the mind when we stop thinking about ourselves and think about someone else. All the vibrations and the nervous connections and everything that's happening in the brain changes completely when we stop thinking about ourselves and think about being of benefit to someone else, even if it's changing the diet. He says, in the midst of being aware that millions of people are suffering from abject poverty, maintain a sense of good cheer, not succumbing to compassion's near enemy, sadness, and not succumbing to a sense of futility and apathy.
practice time. So this will help you very much. So that you can do. Yes. Mm-hmm. The near, I think that's so interesting. It's the near enemy of compassion. And notice what circumstances get in the way. And when you notice them, bring up practice. Practice, remember. Remember our intention. Remember how we are. And remember that Shanti Deva said, if there is a remedy, then what is the use of frustration? And if there is no remedy, what is the use of frustration? That's my favorite of Shanti Deva, the best thing he ever said. Not to worry, even though we do. And the last thing that I pulled out of B. Allen Wallace is, when adversity becomes an ally in the fulfillment of our deepest aim, the cultivation of wisdom and compassion is no longer adversity. When adversity is no longer experienced as adversity, this is a sign of success in our practice. I think all of this is really, really crucial for us. Us meaning all of us. As much and as many of us as can find our way to this way. Way to be and to live and to practice. So my encouragement this time is to take this, live it for a week, and especially when you find yourself projecting a problem or adversity of some kind, to stop and feel where it's coming from in you. Just notice it. Don't be mad at yourself or upset or analyze it in any kind of psychological way, but just notice. Notice what it is and maybe what needs to turn toward others. It's 8:00. I wanted to mention that we're in the middle of practice period, which means that we're paying special attention to our practice during these few weeks until the end of Sashin. And I hope you all have chosen something interesting to do. I am trying to memorize the Heart Sutra in the way that we're chanting it now, and you can probably tell I haven't gotten there yet. But it's been very helpful for me, and I know some people are studying things and sitting more. I'm sitting 3 times a day instead of 1. So it's just to amp it up a bit and get a more of a taste of a practice life. And to see that we don't have to put it at the bottom of our list or the middle of the list. It can be close to the top of our list of how we live. So I encourage you all to carry on and enjoy it. Other questions? Samia?
I just wanted to say that I won't be here for the next 2 weeks, but for those that haven't been to Jikoji and sat with Angie, if you could sit for me, that would be so nice.
Oh, we will sit with you for you.
And even people that have never sat Sashin, if you can just you know, drive, it's a beautiful drive up there, and check it out for as long as you can, as you can. I remember Angie once saying a long time ago about Zishin, you should treat yourself, and I had no idea what she meant. You know, you sit for a longer extended time, it's a real gift.
Thank you.
Okay, and we'll do 1 minute.